Hello and welcome. We are going to do our week 5 discussion this evening, and it's going to be 3 classes plus a class exercise. We're going to tell you how to form a corporation today and all of our items with respect to that. Last time, if you remember, we talked about the nature of a corporation. We talked about its origins, how the corporate format comes out of Rome and then went into Britain as a colonial power. We followed both of those when we were part of the British colonies, and how it went into the United States after the Revolution and became entity, the corpus, which comes from Rome, corporation. Meaning artificial person under the law. And Rome, of course, wanted to create corporations because they wanted their business institutions, their business organizations, to last longer than the lifetime of a single human being. And a corporation can be perpetual. And they wanted a business organization that would be flexible and powerful. All of that was started in Rome. Then it got expanded when obviously Great Britain was a colony of Rome, and they took over a lot of Roman law, and the British monarchs started to use the corporations to be able to do public bidding and allow private businesses to do things for the crown. Now, one of those things was colonizing the New World, and they would give a charter. They would charter a corporation that give a charter to a business entity to go over to the New World and start a colony or start a business over in the colonies for the benefit of the monarch. And one of the things that they would do as an enticement to draw capital into it, private investment, was to give it limited liability. So that's where the concept of limited liability came from. We talked last time about how a corporation is an artificial person under the law, and how important that is. And we did our famous case, which discussed that, Dartmouth College versus Woodward, where the United States Supreme Court recognized that you have rights as a corporation, and that as a result of that, because you are a person under the law, an artificial person, you have many of the same protections of the Constitution that we have as individual natural people. But it also, that case also stood for the fact that those rights don't go forever, as far as they don't go everywhere. And you don't get the Privileges and Immunities Clause, which provides that you can't discriminate against one state as opposed to the others. Well, you can discriminate between corporations of different states. Last time we also talked about what types of corporations we have out there. Obviously, we spend most of our time in this class, because it's a class in business law, on business corporations. Those are simply a corporation formed for the purpose of conducting a business for profit. And we also have within that subset professional corporations, where you start that kind of practice of a business for a professional area. So if you're a group of lawyers or engineers or accountants, you can form a professional corporation to provide for that limited liability in the concept of your practice. Remember, it doesn't go for malpractice. It only will go for all the other issues that you relate to that. We talked about public purpose corporations, which are primarily public authorities, things like the Thruway Authority and the Bridges Authority and the Dormitory Authority, that are publicly chartered corporations. They're chartered by an act of the state legislature. Remember, business corporations no longer are. They're done under the business corporation law. But public purpose corporations are chartered by an act of the state legislature so that they can do the work of government. And lastly, you have not-for-profit corporations. Those are charities. Those are entities which are form for the purposes of doing something other than a business for profit. You know, there are things like hospitals and schools and things of that nature, which do a overall public benefit. And lastly, we wrapped up last time with the elements of a corporation. What are their principal characteristics? What are their comparisons? What are their powers? We'll review a little bit of that tonight as we jump into our corporate formation lessons. And what are those about tonight? Well, first, it starts with pre-incorporation. What do you have to do to start and ramp up? So you want to start a business, you want to start a corporation, what are the things you have to do? And we'll describe that. They come into two main categories. One, promoters, those are the people who kind of do the groundwork for it, and subscriptions, that's selling shares before the corporation comes into existence. It's basically a promise to buy the share once it does come into existence, because you can't buy the share before the corporate entity exists. Then we're going to talk about the process of incorporation. There's entities known as incorporators, and those are the people who actually sign the documents, prepare the documents for filing with the Office of Secretary of State. They make up the certificate of incorporation, which is the primary document, which is like the constitution for a corporation. And then we go through the mechanics of incorporation. How do you actually file those documents? What are the fees you have to pay? What do you have to put in there? And we'll talk about that. Then we're going to speak about the organizational meeting, because once you file the corporation, once you create the corporate entity, you have another step to go before you're completely formed, and that's the organizational meeting, whereby you issue your shares, you elect your board of directors, because remember, corporations are Republican representative forms of governance, whereby the shareholders don't manage the corporation, they don't run the corporation, they elect a board of directors to do that. And one of the first things you got to do out of the box is elect that board so the corporation can operate. We're going to talk about appointment of officers, because just like when you have the three branches of government in the United States or in the state governments, once you elect that board of directors, well, you have to have somebody to actually do the work, because the board of directors only does a policy. So you have to have an entity that will do the implementation of that policy. Those are the officers. And lastly, we're going to talk about bylaws, which are the statutes of a corporation, whereas the certificate of incorporation is like the Constitution, the bylaws are the statutes. They're individual directives that are passed by the board of directors on how the corporation operates and how it runs and the individual items that it wishes to do on a permanent basis. Lastly, we're going to wrap up with a class exercise. So you want to start a business, and we'll go through all the checklists of things that you have to do when you want to start a business. Okay, let's jump right in. What is a corporation? This is just for review. A corporation is a legal entity. They're an artificial person created in accordance with statute. It's statute-based in the United States. It's a creature of law. No one's ever seen a corporation because it's a legal idea. The corporation's existence and attributes arise from the enabling statute, which in New York State is the Business Corporation Law. It gives the business participants significant freedom. They can choose their own customized relationships. They're able to design a corporation that's best for them. The corporate entity is separate and distinct, however, from any of the legal personalities who own or manage the corporation. So it's not the shareholders, it's not the board of directors, it's not the officers. All of those entities work for the corporation or support the corporation in some manner, but that's not the corporation. The corporation is a separate and distinct artificial person under the law. What does Black's Law Dictionary define a corporation to be? It's an artificial person under the law, created on the authority of the laws of that state. It's created on the authority of the Business Corporation Law. It has an existence distinct from that of its associated individuals. So It's not the shareholders, it's not the directors, it's not its officers, it's not its employees. Corporation is a distinct and separate artificial person under the law. All those people serve the corporation, work with the corporation, even manage the corporation, but it's not the corporation, and all those people have a fiduciary duty to do what's best for the corporation as a whole. It has a duration which is perpetual, meaning forever, or you can set it up for a period of years, but 99% of corporations go on forever because everybody has grand aspirations. It has a scope of powers that's conferred upon it by law, which is the business corporation law. That business corporation law tells it what it can and cannot do. What are the principal characteristics of a corporation? They're very straightforward. It's an entity of limited liability. That's because of the fact that, remember, under common law, you had this sovereign who was the king, grant to the corporation part of its sovereign immunity. And as a result of that, you could not go after that corporation for anything other than what it owed to you. So as a result of that, you couldn't go against the investors of the corporation for any of the debts of the corporation. Why? It's a separate and distinct individual under the law. So shareholders are limited to their investment. That limited liability is one of the most important characteristics because it acts as a magnet for capital. It's why that you have corporations be able to raise and operate so well with so much money. It has entity powers. It is a separate person under the law. It has corporate personhood. And as a result of that, it is a separate standing. It can sue and be sued. It can operate on its own because of the fact that it has entity powers. It has centralized management, meaning unlike a partnership or a sole proprietorship where you have the investors actually manage the business organization, that does not happen with a corporation. You elect a board of directors who provides for policy directives of the corporation, and they in turn appoint officers who actually manage and carry out that policy. It has a continuity of existence. That means it can be perpetual, can go on forever. It has free transferability of its interests, which means shareholders who buy a share in the corporation can sell that share to somebody else. It has statutory sources of authority, which means it is created pursuant to the guidelines of the statute that creates it, which in New York State, again, is the business corporation law. It has constitutional status, which means corporations as a individual artificial person under the law have constitutional protections. They have the right of free speech. They have the right to associate with whom they wish. They have the rights of so many of our legal protections of the Bill of Rights. They don't have the right to vote because they're not a natural person, and they don't have the Privileges and Immunities Clause, but they basically have every other right that a natural person does. What are the powers of a corporation? They can own things. Why? It's an individual person under the law. They can own anything that they wish, and they can transfer that property. They can lend and borrow money. They can buy and sell securities, including being a partner or a shareholder in another business. They can make contracts. They can compensate their employees and their directors. They can participate in other joint ventures. They have a major residuary power, which is critical under the business corporation law, that says they have all powers that the business corporation law doesn't limit them to. So unless it's prohibited by the business corporation law, they can do it. So that's a major power. They can make contributions, both charitable and political, but they have to be careful because the purpose of the corporation is to operate a business for profit, not to give away their money. And with respect to political contributions, even though they have the right to make them, there are limitations on dollar limits in both New York State and in the federal government, and they cannot violate those dollar limits any more than a natural person. They can make guarantees, they can indemnify their directors, officers, and employees, and they can acquire their own shares back from their shareholders. They can sell them to the shareholders, and they can acquire them back. They can do both. Let's talk about how you form a corporation. And right out of the box, we're going to talk about promoters and subscriptions because that's what you do with pre-incorporation. Let's talk about that. There are several steps and entities involved in corporate formation. A business corporation is formed in compliance with the formalities in the New York State Business Corporation Law. As we said before, it's a creature of statute. So it's got to follow that statute in order to be formed. Remember that prior to 1840, corporations had to go to the state legislature, individuals had to go to the state legislature to form a corporation. They passed that the same as a law. Starting in 1840, they didn't have to do that anymore, and indeed the New York State Constitution says that they shouldn't do that. So as a result of it, the only ones who do go to the state legislature for a corporate charter are the public authorities. Business corporations no longer do it, they do it under the business corporation law. And as a result of that, they have to go through certain steps that the business corporation tells them they have to go through. Those are called the general incorporation statutes. They're in the state constitution and recognized as such after the 1840s came around. So starting in the 1840s, all of the corporations in the state of New York that wanted to be businesses were formed pursuant to this corporate context, which today is the business corporation law. And what does that say? How do you form a corporation under it? There's several steps and entities. Let's run through them real quick so that you just kind of get a general feel of them. First and foremost is preliminary incorporation activities. You're thinking about becoming a corporation. You haven't done it yet. You have to do some of the groundwork before you actually pull the trigger on it and become a corporation. You do some pre-incorporation activities on that. You start to think about what you want to have as its name. You start to talk about what kind of business activity you want to do. You get people to act to put the corporate thoughts out there. And what is that? That's a promoter. Just like a promoter for a boxing campaign or a movie, these promoters promote the idea of the corporation that you want to form. And they go to individual people to primarily raise money. How do they do that? They will sell them a subscription. A subscription is a promise to buy stock at the time that the corporation actually gets formed. At the organizational meeting, they'll use that subscription to be able to buy the stock at a certain price. It's an investment contract, and the promoter's number one job is to sell those subscriptions. Promoters do other things, and we'll talk about that too, but primarily what they do is they get the corporation organized and get it ready to get up and running. They do not file the papers. That's by a separate group, and we'll get to that in a second. But the promoters basically come out there and they're the salespeople for the corporation. What about the legal process of incorporation? Well, that starts with people called incorporators. Incorporators don't have to be promoters. They can be, but they don't have to be. And as a result of what the incorporators do is they put together the legal documents necessary to comply with the business corporation law. That's called a certificate, or in other states, sometimes the articles of incorporation. That's the constitution of the corporation. It has to be complied with the provisions of the business corporation law, and it sets forth all the information that the Secretary of State needs to be able to incorporate that business. You file that that certificate of incorporation with the Office of the Secretary of State, and as long as it hits all those check boxes and you pay the fees, you're ready to roll as a corporation. They will file it, and the second the Secretary of State files your certificate of incorporation, you become incorporated. Now, after you become incorporated, you're required, in order to bring that corporation into being as a complete, valid legal entity, you're required to hold an organizational meeting. That organizational meeting issues the shares so that the subscriptions can be fulfilled, so the money can come into the corporation by means of selling those shares, so you raise the capital you need, you elect your board of directors at that organizational meeting, you appoint your corporate officers at that organization. After the board is formed, they meet and they pass several resolutions, including that of appointing the corporate officers. And lastly, they adopt bylaws. Whereas the certificate of incorporation is the constitution of a corporation, the bylaws are its statutes, and it's the directives of the board of directors to take the corporation where it needs to go. Let's talk about promoters. What is a promoter? Well, first and foremost, a promoter is a fiduciary. It's a fiduciary who provides the organizational initiative for the founding of a business enterprise. They set in motion all that needs to be done to form the corporation that will conduct this business enterprise. What is their role? Primarily, to work on a plan to build, organize, and bring about this new business. They bring together the persons interested in it. They are the salespeople for this new business. They prepare what is known as the prospectus. In certain types of businesses, you need to show a written document of this is what we're going to do. It's kind of a game plan of what the business will be doing. Certain types of businesses require that legally, others do not, but frequently it will be prepared. It's a game plan, basically, in writing of what the corporation is going to be doing. They also will prepare the advertising and the documentation for promoting it. So if there's ads or if there's meetings by which you have to have to sell subscriptions, they're going to organize all of that. They're going to aid in the procurement of subscriptions. They're going to be the ones that go out and sell those subscriptions, find the investors, turn around and say, hey, listen, this is a great idea, and they're going to write up those subscriptions so people will end up buying them. And they're going to conclude their role and functioning once that new corporation comes into existence. They only operate before the filing of that by the incorporators. What is a fiduciary? Because as it was said, they have a fiduciary duty to this corporation, albeit even though it hasn't been formed yet. A fiduciary is a person who is required to act for the benefit of another person on all matters within the scope of their relationship, and who owes the other person the duties of good faith, trust, confidence, and candor. Fiduciaries have to be honest, and that's primarily what it is. So when a fiduciary has to be honest to the corporation, because that's who they owe that fiduciary duty to. They're responsible for them. Promoters in their role as fiduciaries advance efforts and resources to contribute to the corporate formation. It's in the early stages, because once the corporation is filed with the certificate of incorporation, they go out. They're no longer involved. They do the preliminary work. And the duties of a promoter flow from their position as a fiduciary. They have a legal duty to be fair and open and honest, faithful and trustworthy with that corporation. They have wide powers to organize and form the corporation. Although they're not an agent, they can't be, because why? The corporation doesn't exist yet. So you can't be an agent without a principal. That being said, this fiduciary duty that they hold acts very similar to what an agent would be. And they are held as this fiduciary relationship with the proposed corporation. It's not with the directors. It's not with the shareholders. It's with the corporation itself that they seek to promote. What is their liability? They're personally liable on the contracts made on behalf of the future corporation before its existence. Why? Because the corporation doesn't exist. Now, as a practical matter, the corporation, once it comes into existence, relieves the promoters of their liability, of this personal liability. Why? Because they ratify all the contracts at a later time. Why, you say, would the corporation do that? Why not just leave them on the hook? Well, if you do that, you'd never get anybody to be a promoter. So as a result of that, at the time that the corporation gets formed, one of the first things they do is ratify all the contracts, including the subscriptions, by filling them with the sale of a share of stock to the other parties. Okay. They can't take outside profit. The profit that any promoter makes is got to be well disclosed and well known to all parties. Again, they have to be honest and honorable people. If they try to make a secret profit, if they say, we're going to sell you this stock for X price, and they really charge Y price, which is above that because they want to make more money, they can't do that. They have to operate honorably within the nature of that fiduciary duty. Now, the promoter, of course, is liable on those contracts. Why? Because he's the one who's standing in the shoes of that potential corporation that doesn't exist yet. The corporation's not liable on it. Why? Because at the time the contract was made, they didn't exist. And as a result of that, what they will do, however, is ratify the contract. That way the promoter's taken off the hook. But until such time as they ratify it, only the promoter is liable. The corporation is not. Let's talk about subscriptions, because that's the primary role of the promoter, first and foremost. You want to raise its capital. And businesses can't do anything without money. That's why you have corporations, because they sell shares in order to raise capital to do the things they want to do. A subscription is a contract authorizing an investor to purchase a set number of unissued shares. Remember, they get issued at the organizational meeting after the corporation comes into existence. They can't issue them before the corporation exists. And it's at a future date for a specific price upon the issuance of such shares. So it's basically a promise to buy the shares at a set price at a set date. The promoter's role is to offer these subscriptions to investors. They're the ones who write up these subscriptions, who are the ones who make the contract with the subscribers, with the investors. So if the investor doesn't like the subscription, they sue the promoter. Now, as we said, these subscriptions get fulfilled at the time of the organizational meeting. So as a result, the corporations take the promoters off the hook at the time they do that. What's the term of a subscription? It's irrevocable for 3 months. It must be in writing and signed by the subscriber. So the subscriber's offering to buy the stock at X price. It's an offer. And as a result of that, they offer the corporation to be able to buy their stock at X price. It has to be paid in full at the time when you buy it. So requirement of the business corporation law says that under the terms of subscription for shares, whether made before or after the formation, it has to be paid at full. What's the importance of subscriptions? they're critically important. It's how a corporation raises its capital to be able to do the business that the business corporation is formed to do. And as a result of that, it's the critical aspect of forming the corporation, because you're getting the money in. Now, realize frequently it gets paid at the time that the stock gets issued. And as it can be paid beforehand, in which case the promoter holds the money and then gives it over to the corporation at the time of the issuance. But frequently it is paid for at the time that the stock gets issued. That's it for the pre-incorporation. We'll move on to the incorporation process in our next lecture. See you shortly.